Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz with Agency Revolution. We make it easy to automate your systems, to engage your customers, and to grow your agency or brokerage. I want to welcome everybody to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we examine the trends, innovations, challenges, and the solutions to the biggest problems that are facing retail agents and brokers. Today, I want to welcome our special guest, which this time is me, yours truly, Michael Janz. I am going to answer some questions that are going to be delivered to me by our good friend and Senior Vice President, Rick Fox. Rick, how are you?
Michael, great to be here. You ready to roll?
I'm ready. But why don't we start with a really quick introduction of who you are, because you've been an important leader and player in this industry for a long time.
Yeah, so been in the industry for about 25 years. Agency owner in the Pacific Northwest. Also worked for Vertifor, Agency Management System Software. And now here permanently, hopefully, at at Agency Revolution. Looking forward to working with you on this.
All right. Well, let's get started.
All right. First question, Michael. I understand you've just published a new book. What inspired the book?
Well, as you know, Rick, we've been looking at this industry for a long time. My sights have been on the retail agent and broker for almost 25 years, and we've always been interested in fundamentally in one question: what makes some agents or brokers more successful than others, and how can we identify those characteristics, and how can we then package them and deliver them so that others can succeed just like that? Well, when I got into this industry over two decades ago, it was a very different world. It was a different business environment. The things that agents and brokers did to succeed were different. The Yellow Pages ads were different than they are now, for example. the world that they operate in is just so different. So we really very, very carefully examined what's making some people succeed in this environment more than others. What are the shortcuts? And why is it that some agents and brokers seem to be able to thrive in this fast-changing environment, others that don't? So essentially what we did, put it all in one book, and the book is called Connect: How Insurance Agents Brokers are Rapidly Dominating Their Market by Connecting More Deeply with Their Customers and Prospects, Delivering an Ongoing Stream of Value, and Marketing Like Modern-Day Wizards. And that's what it comes down to.
Sounds good. Michael, let me ask you this question. What kind of changes have you been seeing?
Well, some are slow and transitional, and some are dramatic and, I think, transformational. So we have seen, unfortunately, we've seen some slow market share erosion, especially personal lines. And, of course, we're seeing some threats to market share erosion in small commercial lines. And we've seen that over the years. I mean, clearly, the direct marketers like Geico and Progressive Direct now – companies like Esurance.com, they've done a good job reaching out to the demographic of the customer base that wants their value proposition, which is basically save 15%. It's a cheap insurance sort of commodity value proposition. There's an element of the marketplace that's appropriate for. So that's a big change. We've also seen a change which I think we're just beginning to see the tip of the iceberg, and that is the emergence of a new digital channel. Now, we've known that the internet and related technologies have really transformed a lot of industries, like on and on and on. The travel industry, journalism, photography, I mean, publication, just so many industries have been transformed because of it. Our industry has, in spite of Bill Gates and others saying that we're going to be disintermediated. They were saying that 20 years ago. It seems that we've been sort of a relatively safe harbor, but what we've seen happen recently is a major series of investments in this industry to disrupt it, to take our customers away from the venture capital community. So we've seen, since 2011, we've seen $4 billion invested into disruptive startups, $3 billion since 2015. And some of that coming from all sorts of sources, Silicon Valley, but even some of it coming from our own carriers. So We've seen market share erosion. We see a new digital channel that is arising. But I think ultimately the most important change that we've seen, again, it is technology related. Consumer behavior is just flat out different. People are doing things, Rick, that were unimaginable when you and I got into this industry. And that pace of change has not been linear. It's really been it's been on a very fast upward moving curve. So now we see that consumers are online. They are online a lot. And they are even online before and during their insurance purchases. So now we know, and these numbers, even if they're weeks old, they're probably smaller than they are now. 81% of the consuming population researches insurance online before they purchase. 72% of them trust online reviews as much as they trust recommendation from their friends and family. Wow. 91% check their email every day. 71% of adults are on Facebook every single day, and it's not just millennials. In fact, a recent report that I read said that the boomer generation is actually online a little bit more, 15 hours a week, a little bit more than millennials. And as I said earlier, you know, while we tend to think that personal lines is what the internet might be about, a lot of the investments that are being made are being made to disrupt commercial lines. And Deloitte did a report that said 84% of small business owners would be willing to purchase online. In other words, throw their broker off the boat if they could save some money. So we've seen a lot of change, and that's really inspired us to give the best shortcuts we can to agents and brokers today.
So that seems like, I mean, those numbers are staggering. Some of those numbers are very big. But I also think, you know, the economy has righted itself and things are right in their world for the most part day to day. So how do you see or how do you feel that agents and brokers are reacting to some of these changes?
That's really well put, because if Friday feels like Thursday and Thursday feels like Wednesday and Wednesday feels like Tuesday, it's like, oh, you know, this is kind of okay. But it's sort of like it is a little bit like, you know, the slow boil. All of a sudden, it's 212 degrees. So we do see agents and brokers reacting, I would say, three different ways. One is complacency, and that's been around for a long time. Even 20 years ago, Rick, when we were talking about changes in the industry, we were saying that the industry's changing and the dinosaurs are the ones who are not. If they're not adopting some, at that point, what we felt were some really necessary marketing strategies. So I think when things go well, like you said, you know, the economy's in pretty good shape. People are selling insurance. Lifestyles are pretty good. So number one is complacency, and I think that's extremely dangerous. Number two, sometimes people really do look squarely at this change, and they wonder, how am I gonna grow this thing when there's so many threats and so much new competition, and some people, they just don't get what their consumers are doing. So anxiety is another issue. We did a poll of our readers of our email newsletter. And virtually every single respondent said that they're anxious that our channel, as a channel, is falling behind. The third way that we've seen people respond, which is what we want people to do, is simply to address it with strategy, is to recognize that the reason we call the book Connect is because the consumer is connected, and we're simply saying that the broker, agent broker channel has to catch up and has to connect. And so the third way we've seen people respond is by making a conscious strategic decision to connect with their marketplace, where their marketplace is.
You mentioned the consumer is changing or has changed, and I'm guessing will also continue to change. What can agents and brokers do to earn their business in today's world?
Well, those are great questions. Fundamentally, we have to recognize that there's more than one reason that people buy insurance. some people buy insurance because of price. And I think, unfortunately, some people are making the wrong decision, but it's really not our job to judge the consumer. Consumers make their decisions, and we need to respect that. Some people buy it on price. Bain did some fascinating research, came out a couple of years ago on loyalty in the property and casualty industry, and they discovered that there are a couple of other reasons people buy insurance. One, which is the sort of third in line, is convenience. We're not good at that. Two, as I mentioned, price. And as a channel, we're frankly, we are more expensive than the direct channel, so selling on price is not a great idea. The third reason that people purchase insurance is because they want protection. They actually care about peace of mind. And so
does that get lost in the shuffle a little bit, Michael? People are so used to Amazon and those kinds of ways of shopping today that does that value that the agent provides, does that sometime with today's consumers get lost in the shuffle?
Well, here's what the research is showing, and this is clearly what we're discovering in our own field research, is that for those who really do care about having protection for their business, having protection for their family or for themselves as an individual or for their organization, there is, you know, we're a tribal species. We thrive when we have relationships. And so if the agent or broker can deliver some sense that they're there as a real person, they're present in their life, they're going to connect and try to provide a deep relationship where they are present in somebody's life and delivering ongoing value, that matters. And so I think to some extent there is, there is this sense that the product is commoditized. There are an awful lot of people that don't just want a commodity. I mean, there are a lot of things. Every industry is commoditized, right? There's no better example, than, let's say, water, right? That's a pure commodity. And yet sitting on my desk right now, it's like a $2 bottle of water that I got because it served my needs at this point in time. And when I remember doing some research on the water industry, there are hundreds of companies that are selling water. They all have a little bit of distinctive packaging or messaging or something that makes them stand out, not only from water in the sink, but from everybody else. And so the commodity myth is really just a myth.
Okay, so if it's not price, then what is it? How do we deliver on those other values?
Well, so let me just settle on price for a moment. This is research that was delivered at the ACT conference. So about a year and a half ago, my friend Brady Polanski from Easy Links delivered the research. And this is what they found, is that 50% of the consumers actually don't take the lowest price that's offered to them. 57% don't take the lowest price. And they actually end up choosing a product that between the second lowest price and third, fourth, and fifth, it is 19 to 53% higher. So price matters. It's in the equation, but for the demographic that's most appropriate for our channel, it really doesn't, it's peace of mind that comes in front of that. And so I think your question is, what do we do about that? If it's not price, what are
exactly
the other values?
Exactly.
Okay. So the first thing that I really encourage agents and brokers to do is not just to think tactically, and there is no marketing trick that solves this problem. There's not a magic wand, and I say this as a marketer with 25 years of experience in this industry, as somebody who's frankly over the years delivered every trick in the book. Ultimately, it's not a tactic; it's a strategy that solves the problem. And the strategy, it's having that core value of making a commitment to be real people, delivering a real sense of presence and real value to consumers, and aligning every single tactic, every behavior, every phone call, and then, of course, using technology, every email, or whatever communication is appropriate that delivers that sense of relationship and of value. So it really is stepping back and saying, here's the question, Rick, that has to be answered. This is the question that the consumer silently asks, and I think that our channel is being challenged to answer, which is, why do you matter? Why does your insurance agency matter? Whether you're delivering personal lines insurance in Salmon Creek, Washington, or you're delivering some middle market insurance or what have you in downtown Chicago, ultimately you've got to make that you've got to answer that question. Why do you matter? And what the research shows is, if you can create a relationship with me and have some appropriate presence in my life, and that doesn't mean show up at the family barbecue unannounced, right? It means show up online, show up in my inbox, and when you talk to me that way, say something that matters, deliver some value. You can protect me. You know, somebody said to me recently, I don't think that I should communicate with my customers more than 6 times a year. And after some conversation, I think that he got the idea. If all you're doing 6 times a year is trying to suck money out of your customers' wallets, if the essence of the relationship is how much can you take from them, then you probably shouldn't show up in their inbox at all. The novice's approach to marketing, the novice's understanding of the magic of marketing is, you know, marketing is how much can I get. The advanced marketer realizes that the magic of marketing is in the question, how much can I give? And so,
yeah, that's well put.
Okay, so and that's how we deliver loyalty. I'll share with you very briefly how much loyalty is worth. This is based on Bain's research. A loyal customer does things that other customers don't. And they measure loyalty on the Net Promoter Score, which is really common in our industry. I know that Safeco uses it, Aviva uses it, Travelers uses it, The Hartford uses it, USAA uses it. So it's a really standard benchmark for measuring the loyalty of customers. There are three kinds of customers: highly loyal customers, mid loyal customers, and low loyalty customers. Highly loyal customers retain at 97%. That's really good retention. They generate 2.5 referrals per person compared to a mid loyalty customer that generates one referral. They buy 25% more insurance. So ultimately, the lifetime value of a highly loyal insurance customer is 7 times more than a low loyalty customer and 3 times more than a mid loyalty customer. So if there's an agent or broker who's listening, I'm hoping that the light bulb just went off and you said, I got my core strategy. My core strategy is building loyalty, because that's where the money is. It's in the depth of the relationship.
And that sounds like that is the cornerstone of the strategy for the independent agent broker channel right now, is getting more of those highly loyal customers because they're worth more. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And in fact, what further research shows is that we can be good. Our channel can be good at loyalty. Geico doesn't pretend to. I mean, the directs, they don't pretend to. It's a different business model, and it works really well for them. And the emerging digital channel, first of all, it's new. They'll probably be very good at convenience, which we're not that good at. But nobody has the opportunity. Nobody can build on the strength of real people having real relationships with other real people like our channel does.
That makes a lot of sense, Michael. I think that as you move forward with this process, anyone out there listening, that highly loyal customer becomes the absolute cornerstone of your strategy moving forward. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, when people ask us or me often, where is the money? Is it in insurance? You know, is it in PNC or life or benefits or commercial or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Where the money is in the relationship. And the bigger money is in the deeper relationship. So fundamentally, We want to earn trust. We want to be present and be benevolent. In other words, our communications, there need to be some frequency of communications. And the communications generally need to, you want to deliver value. People often, you know, they want to know, like, they hear about our technology and they think, oh, so you've got a technology that lets me suck more money out of everybody's wallet. and we usually have to slow them down. And here, let me share with you why. You know, agency A gets, let's say, a terrific response, you know, maybe 11.2% response to a cross-sell campaign. And agency B what does the exact same thing and they get a lower response, you know. And they say, well, agency A must be exaggerating their numbers. Here's the difference. Agency A has a relationship to the list that's getting the messages. Agency B has a weaker relationship. And so when I say we want to slow them down on the cross-selling, for example, there is some healing that needs to take place between the agency and their customers, so that the customers feel like, oh, This is right. This isn't just the broker who's always trying to rip me off. This is the person that I trust. This is the person I can count on. So now when account rounding is performed or requests for Google reviews or referrals or testimonials, when an agency asks for those things, that's when they get a terrific response, when they have a deep, loyal relationship with their customer base.
All right. So put a bow on it. What's the solution?
Yeah, okay, right. So when I got into this industry, Rick, everybody, you know, was, they were excited for me and they welcomed me into the industry saying, this is a relationship business. About 4 or 5 years ago, McKinsey came out with a report and it had everybody upside down and upset and all kind of in a, you know, all a flutter. And essentially, one of the fundamental things that they said was it appears that now the agent broker channel might be unraveling. The economics of the broker channel might be unraveling. And what I think they mean by that is that, you know, let's focus first on personal lines or small commercial lines. There's not a lot of commission that goes to support those relationships. By the time you go back and forth with a couple of phone calls, you get all the information that you need, you enter them into your agency or broker management system, you know, the $200 or $300 you got is gone. Where's the money to create that relationship? Doing it the old school way does not work anymore. But it's an old school problem and it's an old school solution. Depth of relationship needs to be done with new school technology. So how to put a bow on it, if you want to be present in the lives of thousands of people, if you have 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 or more customers, the only way you can do that is to multiply yourself, and you do that with technology. Technology allows you the ability to scale relationship. It allows you the ability to communicate on an ongoing basis. And of course, now, you know, one of the problems in our industry, as it is with every vertical, is when an emerging technology arises, like marketing automation technology, it's in the horizontal world that can be fine, but in the vertical world, you need to find a way to connect it with whatever technology currently runs the system. And in our business, what runs the agency or the brokerage is the agency or broker management system. I mean, that's an ongoing daily part of operations. That problem is now solved, and I'm happy to say that we've solved that with our product Connect, so that it allows the connected agency or broker management system to connect with a marketing automation system so that you can deliver the right message to the right person at the right time.
Yeah, that makes sense, Michael. It sounds good. Hey, so let's just go back to where we started. We mentioned the first thing we talked about was the new book.
Right on. We are making that book available before we go to Amazon, before we go to Kindle. Really, the book is I just want to deliver this message to as many people as possible. So the book, it is available. We're making it available now for free. If you visit our website, agencyrevolution.com, and look under resources, you'll be able to find and download a copy of that book for free.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate your time today, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Okay. And likewise, Rick, thanks for turning the tables and interviewing me. And again, thanks everybody for joining us today. And I will remind you, check our blog out. We always have lots of resources available there for you, and we update it at least once or twice a week.